You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio.
Okay, I got it.
Hello. Okay, it's November 28th, 2017. We're in the live stream. We've got a new voice. Overly Salted has landed on the Discord Fakeologist audio stream. How you doing, Overly Salted?
Oh, this wonderful.
Oh, great. Oh, you went a little digital there. I guess you're on a Wi-Fi network.
Yeah. Yep.
Where are you all from?
I live in West Virginia.
Oh, mountain country.
Yeah, mountaineers.
Oh, great. Are you a coal miner?
No, I'm a truck driver.
Oh, good. We have something in common.
Yeah.
I'm just looking up West Virginia now.
Yeah, I live in the northern panhandle, like in between Pennsylvania and Ohio, about 30 miles east of, 30 miles west of Pittsburgh.
They actually call it a panhandle, huh? Interesting. I'm looking at it now.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a very thin, very thin handle. I was getting confused looking at this Google map, but yeah, it's a super thin panhandle.
Yeah, it's tri-state area.
Oh, wow. So you could go from Pennsylvania to West Virginia and to Ohio and just those two interstates, or one interstate, 70, and Highway 22.
Yeah, I live there.
They slice through the panhandle.
Yeah, I live right by 22 there.
Oh, yeah, well. Probably find your house. There's not too much action there. Oh, I see. The dividing line is the Ohio River.
Yeah.
And the north-south Pennsylvania border, I wonder what that's denoted by. Is that a parallel? Where did they come up with that line? Because it just goes through nowhere.
Between where?
Well, it's an exact north-south state line. It doesn't follow any kind of geography, so it must be a line of latitude or longitude.
I don't know how they divided that up.
It looks like it's 80 degrees, maybe. Anyway, interesting. So how did you come? Yeah, go ahead.
No, I just say I work in Pennsylvania, but I live in West Virginia.
Well, because it's such a thin slice of land, is there an advantage to living there?
Yeah, it's a little bit cheaper cost of living, housing, and that, West Virginia. Taxes.
Does that mean lots of people might live in West Virginia and work in Pittsburgh, for instance?
Oh, yeah, a lot of people from this area work up in Pittsburgh. Not many jobs right around here. Steel mills, aren't doing too good, and
Steubenville, is that in West Virginia or is it in Ohio? It looks like Ohio.
Yeah, Steubenville's. I live right across the river from Steubenville. I live in Fallensby, actually.
Let me just grab a Google man and drop him. I'm looking at that nice bridge over the Ohio over there. That's cool. That's a spider. And bridge, like.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the highway 22. Yeah, nice area. Probably very similar to where we live in terms of geography.
Phone's kind of breaking up here.
There's actually a Toronto, Ohio, just up the river. That's funny.
Yeah.
I knew there was a Toronto, Ohio. I didn't know where it was.
Yeah.
But it's literally right up the road from you.
Yeah, it's not far at all.
That's interesting. You learn something every day. That's where Toronto, Ohio is, just on the Ohio River. How did you find Fakeologist?
I've been listening to you for a long time. I found you to Hoax Busters, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I heard you on some of the chats and then checked you out. I listen to both Hoax Busters and Fakeology.
That's good.
Yeah, I work by myself, so I got a lot of time to, you know, listen to podcasts and that. So I listen to all the live streams and that on iTunes, you know, the podcast.
Yeah, it certainly seems that most phone users use the iPhone for simplicity's sake.
Yeah.
Just goes to show you, people don't use things unless it's just put before them. You know, people don't spend a lot of time fooling around with technology. If it's put there before them, they just use it. Otherwise, they don't even know it's there, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, there's not much on the radio to listen to, so.
Well, the podcast is taking over.
Oh, yeah.
For most people, I think it's just a great way of doing things. And I noticed you signed up for fakeologist.com, so I'm going to just verify here since I can't get any more real than this. You're wise enough to see that there's two logins.
Figure out how to log in.
Yes, it's not terribly clear. Users pending approval. Nobody. Oh, good. I'm glad it's not working. Oh, I see. I'm on the baller. I got skeptic. Go ahead.
Email password, and I tried to log in, and it said it was incorrect.
No, that I didn't approve it right away. It's not automatically approved. I usually send an email handshake.
Oh, I see.
Got that. And,
yeah, it said to write a little, you know.
A blurb. Just a blurb.
Yeah, well, how do I do that?
Well, just send an email and just reply to it and just put a little explanation of who you are. I just put it usually in the membership introductions under the forums there, fakeologist.com/forums. You'll see it there just so people get a feel for who's who. But
okay.
I did approve you already. Yeah. Discord is a separate system from the WordPress system.
Okay.
There's no way to integrate them that I know.
Right.
Therefore, you're now approved on both sites. You're now approved for the Discord site, which means you won't be automatically booted if you don't use it, because now you're on the right column under verified, so you can also go to the audio chat live stream anytime and join in. And,
right.
Yeah, you've done it. You're in.
Thank you.
Like Flint.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
No, it's just to keep out the people that are here by accident, or really, to be for the most part, people just stumble in.
I understand.
Yeah, we don't have a great screening process, so really, once you're in, you're in, and you're in, and it's the Discord has pretty much taken over the blog in terms of activity because it's so easy to use.
Yeah, I noticed that.
And it's free on your iPhone and on your Gemot and on your what do you call it? On your Android. It's going to say Gematria. Got Gematria on my mind.
Yeah, I downloaded the TeamSpeak app, too. I thought you needed that maybe to talk on here, but I guess it's separate, too.
Yeah, it's a separate, more complex program. And to be honest with you, almost nobody was able to get on it because they just didn't follow the instructions. People don't read instructions.
Yeah.
With Discord, there's nothing to do. You just get on. You just load it, and you're gone. You're on.
I think I got it now.
That's why it's so busy here. As you can see on the right side, I got a lot of people logged on automatically. They're just in. So it's really easy to post pictures and files. And the only problem is it's just an ongoing conversation that just goes on forever. It's not really organized.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, it suits most people. But as you can see, we have many text channels, general and verified. General for people that are verified like yourself, Media Fakery, Alchemical, Baller Skeptic, EGI, the live stream chat, Make a Date, which is for people who want to meet up with people in the live stream, movies and music. People just love posting music and movie links and not fakeologists, quotes, system notes, shills and trolls. If you're an identified shill, even self-identified, you can go in there. But why did you choose the name Overly Salted? We already have one salt shaker here, Frank.
Frank, yeah. No, it was just like an inside joke between me and my daughter. She gave it to me.
Oh, okay. It has nothing to do with Frank. That's the only...
Nah. When I put that up there, I figured people would think that.
That's fine. That's absolutely fine.
Yeah, it's just a screen name.
Did you do a lot of over-the-road trucking?
Yeah, when I first started, I did that for a couple years. And I took a local job hauling steel. And I did that for, I don't know, 6 or 7 years. And then the steel mill slowed down. And now I work for, I work for a trash company.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I do a commercial route.
Right. Trash will never go away.
No, that's the good thing about it.
Yeah, that's
true.
You
trash and recycle.
Yeah, I've done a lot of that myself, yeah. Big business.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
What? How'd you like that one, eh?
Yeah, never heard that one.
That beeping sound in the beginning, there's a dub reggae artist that uses that in like the beginning of all his songs, this guy named Scientist, a very similar rhythm to it, that beep, beep. Like I thought I accidentally hit play on my iTunes here.
Yeah, I didn't know what that was.
You're a little hard to hear, not so Freemason. It sounds like you're far away.
Yeah, it might have been my sensitivity.
Well, thank you to Velocit. He did that for me. And that's the first time I think anyone's heard it on the live stream. You got it right, Typo. Typo got it right away. Way to go. One thing about Typo, he might be hard to understand, but he sure is on point. Did you hear that scream at the end, Overly Salted?
Yeah.
Do you know who that is?
No, I didn't. I couldn't hear it that well.
I'll play it again for you. Let's play that one again.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, who was it?
You don't know?
No.
That comes from the movie Clues Forum, or September Clues. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
And,
it's the woman's.
You got it. Jennifer Spell. Man. Absolutely. You got it. You figured it out. That's when Simon is analyzing the sounds in the 9/11 movie. And he was playing some cymbals and showing how the sound was dubbed in.
Yeah.
It just sounds too studio.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I don't have too much time tonight, but why don't you give a little more info on your Fakeologist.
Yeah, I will.
You can do it now if you want.
Do what? I'm sorry?
Just give a little more background on your Fakeologist background, if you wouldn't mind.
Well, like I said, you know, I've been listening to the Hoaxbusters call for, geez, years now.
And then, yeah. How'd you find Chris?
I'm not sure. Just searching iTunes for conspiracy and hoaxes.
Yeah.
His podcast came up. And, I started listening to that. And, then I heard you call in on there and I checked out your older podcast. What is it, Waking Up with Ab? Your interview.
Yeah, very good.
Marcus Allen and Chris.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't know. I've just been, always kind of been into the conspiracies and things like that. Yeah, I listen to all the, you know, Fetzer, and I've gone through all the, just about all the podcasts, you know, the guys do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. You still listen to Fetzer, or he's hard to find now? He's sort of fallen away.
Yeah, not really.
Who are your go-to podcasts now?
Yeah, Hoax Busters, their podcast, and I listen to Jay Dyer a little bit, and what's the other one? Oh, Adam Curry and
yeah,
No Agenda. Yeah, I listen to that sometimes, and that's about it, I think.
Hey, you sound like me, pretty much the same. You listen to Hummel and Fred?
I heard your interview on there.
Yeah.
You get them on a podcast?
Yes, yes.
Are they more like a comedy type show?
It's Toronto-centric. That's the only reason I listen to it, Toronto-centric.
Yeah.
They're not really in a conspiracy at all, but
yeah,
I just listen to it just to get different ideas and a little bit of mainstream.
Yeah.
Views. It's important not to fall out of touch with mainstream too much.
Yeah,
if you listen to conspiracy, you'll never be able to talk to anybody.
Yeah, that's right.
So they'll comment on sports, which I have no interest in anymore. And they'll comment on that. I can listen to it as long as they don't talk too long about it. So they'll talk about things around Toronto, basically. Local issues. But they're on SiriusXM, so you can get them anywhere in the U.S.
Yeah, sometimes I listen to Pittsburgh, WDVE. They have a show in the morning. I listen to that sometimes. They're more on the, you know, mainstream kind of. They're liberals pretty much, you know, their view, I guess.
Yes. Well, it sounds like we're in sort of the same area of interest, which is great.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been a long-time listener. I just never, you know, called into Chris's talk show or...
Yeah. Well, now that you've found us on the audio chat, it'll be easy for you just to connect and listen in and maybe...
Yeah, sure.
Give a few words here and there. People like to just go over things and just shoot the breeze, as we say.
Yeah, there's not too many people, you know, around and talk to about these things. They kind of get that deer in the headlight look.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, they're on board with some things, but, you know, they don't go too deep.
Pittsburgh is really right in line with Toronto.
Yeah.
Our steel business is, I guess, dead here, too.
Yeah, right in my area, we used to have, that's all there was, you know. Weirton Steel used to be pretty big, you know, they made steel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they used to have, geez, a lot of employees there back in the 70s.
I guess it all comes from China now.
Yeah, that's what happened. India and China, we start getting all these foreign imports around 2000, 2001.
Yeah. So steel still comes in. It just comes in at the ports, I guess. And there's no ports around West Virginia.
They bring it up in barges up the High River or up on or on
where
the rail.
Where does it come from?
India, China, wherever.
No, but where does the barge come from? From Lake Erie?
Probably, and then up, you know, up the Mississippi and up in the High River.
Oh, wait, the Ohio River doesn't go to Lake Erie, or does it?
I'm not sure. I don't think so. It goes up into Pittsburgh. That's where it goes. From Pittsburgh down to, you know, runs down to the Mississippi.
They still use the Erie Canal?
No.
They don't use that anymore? I guess not.
No, it's just kind of a, you know, touristy type thing. They have some different things on there.
Okay, I was just looking for it. Now I don't even see it. That was a big deal, the Erie Canal.
Yeah.
Maybe it was taken over by the St. Lawrence Seaway, but I'm not sure.
I think that and then railroads.
That's true. Do you read any blogs at all?
Yeah, a little bit. I check out, you know, Chris's blog and Fakeologist vlog. There was a couple you were talking about I looked at. Forget now. Peace of Mind 4 or something like that.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I do when I have time. I mean, it's just hard. You know, I work pretty much 60 hours a week. And
oh, wow.
So I listen to a lot of audio. You know, I work by myself, so.
Yeah, understood. Do you work weekends or just 12 hours a day in the weekdays?
Yeah, just Monday through Friday.
Yeah. Are the electronic logs going to mess you guys up?
No, I don't know. They said we're going to get those, but I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if, as long as you stay right at 12 or just under 12, I don't have to do a log.
That's true.
That's where I try to stay, you know. I don't like filling up that log.
Oh, so you don't have to fill them out at all if you're under.
Yeah, if you go over 12 hours, then you have to do the log. We just do a paper log right now.
Oh, so it's nothing to do with mileage?
No. No, because the distance
from your base.
Yeah, if you're in with a 100-mile radius.
You don't need them.
No.
Yeah, it's the same here. Yeah, it's the same here. You just have to do an inspection log.
Yeah, that's all electronic now. We have
right. We got tablets?
Yeah, we have tablets. It has all our customers and everything on there, and it has our logs.
Oh, okay, interesting. Looks like we're so interesting that everyone that was listening is in room 33. The whole group, Gaia, Jesse, and Dune might miss them. They all just took off. That's interesting. Oh, well. Can't keep everyone interested.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the purpose was just to verify you anyway. So you're verified. You're audio approved, as it were. And come in anytime. We'll have a chat.
Okay. Nice talking to you.
Yeah. Good talking to you. Take care, Overly.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
It's not true, but...
Now everyone's back. I herded everyone back over to the live stream, but I'm going to leave anyway in a minute, but just wanted to get everyone on the record.
So we're still recorded here.
You are recorded here. You weren't recorded in room 33, though.
And where is Salted, who is definitely not the same as Salt announced today, because...
No.
Overly Salted is from the U.S., clearly.
He said that name is an inside joke, nothing to do with Frank.
An inside joke? Even.
Yes. Personal inside joke.
So he gets paid for it because it's a joke.
No, I don't think he's getting money either.
Ah, he's back.
He's unmuted. But...
Sorry, were you talking to me? Anyway, g'day, people. Hello.
Good day, just staying, dude.
How you doing, Ed? Long time no speak to on the live stream.
A long time, long time. What time is it in New Zealand?
It is, I have to check, but I think we're about 3 o'clock, 3:30, in fact.
3:20 it must be.
Yeah.
You must be.
Yes.
We just worked out before that Mason's, she must be 3:20 in the morning.
Exactly, 3:21.
Yeah, up late today. I'm in the middle of my working day, I'm just painting a door as we speak.
Wow. It's 3:21 p.m.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Yep. I was explaining to I can't remember who, somebody earlier, that we are in fact the only country in the world that manufactures and exports time. We get the day. Yeah, we get the day before you do, and then we send it to you.
Ah, okay. So that's because of the spinning ball, right?
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, the spinning ball in the sky.
Yeah,
it spins around us. The you also export the lily pad.
We do, yeah. Yeah, I ordered one.
It only took 2 months to get here. Weeks.
Yeah. 2 months of painful motions. Yeah, no, we do. That's true. Except I learned that from you. In fact, I've learned quite a lot from you.
Well, thank you. I'm going to put that in the live stream in case anyone wants to know what I'm talking about.
Lily pet?
Yeah.
Take a look at the live stream. You guys are new. You haven't listened to all the archives.
Lilypets.co.uk.
Actually, that was actually an interesting episode. It really was. That was quite interesting.
Lilypet toilet squatting.
Yeah, yeah. Straight up. Go and listen to Eb's interview. Who was it with?
Oh, boy. It was with a fairly odd person.
Yeah. What the hell? So you have a lot of Indian clients, I guess.
not me personally, no, but...
Sick.
But the Indians, they shit like this. Sorry for my French, but...
That is a little crude. Come on. It's called defecation.
The Asians do too. So in New Zealand now, we've actually got signs in a lot of the public toilets with a picture of a person standing on top of the throne and a big line through it, you know.
Red X.
Yeah. Please don't stand up on top of the toilet. It's name. Yeah.
Well.
But,
okay, interesting.
I'm not sure this is Fakeology-centric, but, you know.
Well, it is because we did talk about it.
Okay.
And I'm going to find the episode. I'm having trouble finding it because I can't remember the guy's name. Jonathan somebody.
Well, here in this third world country, here they just have normal toilets. Okay.
Can you find us?
Hey, Salted, please speak up. Overly Salted?
Yes.
Hey.
How you doing?
Welcome.
Thank you.
Where are you from?
West Virginia.
Okay. Country road.
Remember?
Yeah.
Cool. What time is it there, Overly Salted?
I think it's about 9:30.
Same here.
Yeah, it's Eastern time.
Hey, Ab, you just corrected me for using horrible words, but then it's in your own video. I mean, how come?
What's in my video?
Yeah, you said this was a shitty site, and you corrected me for using.
Oh, right. Yes. Well, I am, as somebody commented, the fecologist.
Really?
That is quite funny. If you click on that link, you'll read Bruce's comment, which is actually very funny. I'll post a link to that in the live stream. You can read his comment. And, okay, so what it is
technology.
Well, it's
an extension of man.
It's the history of the toilet, and it really is just how it interested me in many ways because of my health interests, but it's also interesting because basically the people that rule over us basically convinced everyone that squatting was not the proper way, and you should use the same throne as the Queen of England. And what that did, quite possibly, is probably harm more people around the world than many other things, because if you do not use this position, you are not properly eliminating, and it creates all kinds of, basically, backup in your system that can kill you.
I agree with that.
It's quite amazing how we were told that the natural way of elimination is uncomfortable. It's not royal in the sense that the royalty use this, the bowl, which basically means you don't have to use any of your leg muscles to support yourself. And just like a crutch, you're walking around or sitting around doing your business, and it puts a huge strain on your system because all the angles are off and all the... It makes elimination really really difficult if you don't assume this proper position. And that was the point of it. It was really just to merge a couple interests. One, health. One, the talk show. And two, how you can convince an entire population, and now it's going worldwide, of doing the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm. But still, if I look at this picture, what I see... This woman is hanging in the air. This is an impossible position. It must be fake.
No, it's not impossible because I do it every day.
Not with this angle of knee bend.
I'm not going to take a picture of my knee bend.
No, this one here in the live stream.
No, I know. I don't know exactly. I have to look at it. But the bottom line is, do you see the point, though, of what I'm saying?
I do.
Oh, good. Do you practice? Yeah. So what do you think of it, Salty?
I mean, no, I don't practice that now, but, you know, when you go camping or something and have to go in the woods, it's just, you see how it's a lot easier.
You don't have a choice because there's no bull sitting around the woods.
Yeah.
I was thinking...
Yeah, go ahead, Marcel.
I'm just wondering the eventual porcelain bowl must have been in the 19th century, I guess.
Yes. Yes. It's about 150 years old.
Yes.
It's not that old if you believe in the size of human history.
Yes, and it's a approximately the same age as the school desks.
And the dinosaurs.
I'm serious. Because the school desks have not only the you sit there to learn, but it is a disciplinary measure for the body.
It's like a cage.
Well, no, it's not like comfortable. It's not
comfortable.
Not,
you
not
have
not
to sit in a way that is not appropriate.
It's almost a torture device.
Exactly. And I wonder, that's what I wanted to say, I wonder why they didn't combine it. The Victorians.
What is this video here? Oh, hello, YouTube Nation. This is Fakeologist from Fakeologist. Okay, I just put it on YouTube. That's what I did. From Fakeologist.com. Only 800 views. I guess nobody cares.
I am, but you gotta help me.
Go ahead, not so Freemason.
Why do I want to be near? He's not here. Salted. Please, stop coming. Speak up.
How do I see what you're posting? How do I see the links?
In live stream chat. Yeah, I don't know how it works on the mobile. We can click
same
on
way.
Live stream chat. Yeah? Okay.
Yeah, same way. Just click on live stream chat. You won't be logged out of the audio chat. But anyway, it's definitely something people should look into. It's a very serious matter. I think you should look into it if you've never heard of it before, Gaia.
I take your word for it, just like I take vegetarianism the word for it. I like meat, so yeah.
I'm not going to
change my way of living in that.
Well, you don't have to change your diet.
No, I understand, but I have to change something I really appreciate, which is just a normal toilet.
That's fine.
And I've been in India, and I can tell you it was the most horrible experience ever in my life. There's no... Okay, Israel and India are way at the base of the countries to visit in the world.
Because of toilets?
No, not because of that. No, it's because of the people. Both of them. I mean, in India, this whole system of castes it's so anti-human, you know. I mean, treating other people like slaves. It is horrible. And in Toronto, I was one day in Toronto, and I saw so many Indians there. And my experience with Indians abroad is fine. I mean, they're I have nothing against Indians in general, but when in India, it's a different thing. For Israel, I mean, no, that is, I mean, in ways, Israel is even below, because the Indians, they still have something like original and so, and the Israelis, they're so conditioned in this whole militaristic dictatorship and indoctrination and 3 years of obligatory military service. It's so unpleasant. These people are so unpleasant, so impolite, so rude, really. And it's extremely expensive. It is more expensive than fucking Norway. Can you imagine?
I guess, yeah.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, I don't want to really talk about Israel and India right now.
Okay, fine.
No, I just wanted to bring up that one. I don't even know how he got onto the squatting thing.
New Zealand. Subject,
No, New Zealand. It shows how conversations can go all over the place. But you guys can continue talking, and have a good night, everybody.
Thanks again, man.
Take care. You too.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
Always sorted.
You have quite an echo. Go.
Hello. I'm here.
I echo only if JSD has his mic open. I just wanted to. How is the fakery there?
I'm sorry, it kind of broke up.
Oh.
Yeah, you did.
But the question was, how is the fakery over there?
It's same as everywhere. We get all the, you know, same mainstream propaganda as everyone else gets.
But you live in Virginia. Is that where Charlottesville is? That's Virginia, right?
Yeah, that's Virginia. I live in West Virginia. It's a different state.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Used to be Virginia.
But that was in a time when we controlled New Amsterdam in the north, right? I'm Dutch, so that's why.
Yeah, New Amsterdam. It was New York, right?
Yeah. So how did you end up here? What's your background? I mean, do you have any topics you want to, I mean, that really woke you up or something?
Yeah, I don't know. I just always kind of been, just suspicious of authority in it. I guess 9/11 is pretty much the big one, you know.
Okay. Yeah. How old are you, if I'm asked?
I'm 45.
Oh, you sound much younger. Well, leave to me. I don't know about the others. I speak for myself only. Okay.
What's that?
I speak for myself only. I don't know. They may have a different opinion about how you sound, but you sound younger than 45 to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So what brought you here?
I don't know. I've listened to the chats for a long time. But I don't know. Just wanted to call in, maybe participate a little bit.
Do any research? Any topics you really like or something?
Just a broad range of things. Really, take out everything. Yeah, I've been listening to you guys chat. I listened to the last couple.
Yeah, I mean, Mysim and me, we're very junior as well, eh? We just joined two or three weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the other. Well, the others are more more senior.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't really have any topics to talk about. I just called in to say hey tonight.
No, it's cool. No, it's cool.
Am I still echoing? Am I making you echo?
You're loud and fine.
Okay. I have a potential topic we could chat about, Gaia, if you like.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah. I heard you talking to, let me think for a second, might have been Frank, maybe. Anyway, about, it might have been Mason, actually, about radio dating of rocks.
I only touched upon it, I think, very slightly, but
yeah. Yeah, yeah, brief comment. But within that brief comment, you basically got at least implied a couple of things, and the first was that you consider it to be a valid science, and the second was that you consider it to be different to the nuclear weapons type hoax thing.
Radioactive minerals exist, and that's outside of any nuclear or whatever stuff. You can measure right. them, so they exist.
Right. So in terms of radioactive metals existing, then does that how do I put this? I don't know. Does that filter down into the understanding that radiation is particulate radiation as opposed to electromagnetic radiation, i.e. these atoms are firing off particles from within their core, and that they are mutating from one element into a different element, which is obviously the basis of radio dating?
Yeah, I mean, opportunity to prove that this whole atomic theory exists and that spell it. No, I take it as a given.
You take it as a given that it is valid, it is correct?
If it works, then I take it as a given. And I looked up, because of this whole discussion, I looked up, I hear myself. But I looked it up in a paper, because I wanted to know if there was actually a paper where they had radiocarbon, so C14 to C13, dating on a known volcanic eruption. And actually, I was not able to find much. I was surprised by that. Because I thought, okay, if you have a volcanic eruption, you know when it happens. Historic, yeah? Not like tens of thousands of years ago. No, historic. And
there's
not really a good correlation with that.
No, I've actually seen, I couldn't cite the source or provide you a link. It was a long, long time ago. I've seen samples of where they got various samples tested from Mount St. Helens. What year was that? Like 80 something, was it? What year was St. Helens?
1980.
Yeah, yeah. And they did not tell the lab normally you're required to provide a suspected date and all that kind of stuff. And anyway, somehow they managed to get it tested without indicating the date in advance. And they got wildly varying dates come back from two or three different labs, and one of them dated it, I can't remember, about several thousand years, and they were all over the place with it.
Yeah, it also depends on where you take the sample from, and there's so many factors, but when I was looking at, 500 years ago, you know, and, oh, background noise I get here from John Le Bon. I'm sorry, John, but please come in. I'm near Loud Children because I live in a big city, sorry. I think it is as a working model, just like the other stuff. Evolution, right. Dinosaurs, heliocentric. I think it's a working model, and you challenged me on the heliocentric stuff, and it could be wrong, and with your moon phases and your moon, the actual rotation of the moon. That's an interesting point, and I want to look into that. I haven't done any research in that, so that's nice. On the radiometric dating, I think it's a given, you know?
So, with the nuclear weapons and stuff like that, you know, I understand that you consider them to be hoaxes. Maybe that's wrong. Anyway, you don't consider nuclear weapons to be valid science?
They're fake.
Yeah. So, but do you consider them to be possible?
It's a good question. No, I think if you can fake it, why make it? That's my position.
Right. I just thought it was an interesting comment. I mean, to be clear, I don't consider any more the atomic theory to be valid in science. I didn't consider radio dating to be a valid science prior to looking into atomic theory, and I'm not probably the right person to back up my position as, and it's not my, I'm not highly qualified or anything like that.
But the thing is, I mean, I can look at rocks and I can see they're older than other rocks because they're more compacted. So I don't know if they're really 200 million years old, but I can see they're younger, they're older than rocks I see of the same lithology, same rock type, than rocks of 300,000 years old. No?
Yeah, but see, to me, those figures are made up to fit the current narrative. And that, I'm not saying that your observations aren't true, because you do see those rocks. Those rocks are real. But then to say, I see this rock, and it's 300,000 years old, is where you depart from a factual observation into a narrative device, into a story, you know?
Yes, but then the question comes up, is how do rocks that are deposited in a marine environment end up high up in the Alps, or in the Rockies, or in the Andes, or in the Appalachians, or in John just joined, so in the Australian Alps? I mean, you have rocks that have marine fossils in them, clearly marine animals. How do they end up there if they are not so many thousand years old or so many million years old? Huh? That's why I keep going with my same point. I want a different narrative. And that's, sue me. Sorry, that's my position.
if I sued you, you'd lose. I'm joking. Yeah, sure. I mean, I just... don't subscribe to the old age uniformitarian worldview. I really don't.
Let's go to the observations. How do rocks with a marine fossil assemblage end up high up in the Alps, the Rockies, the Andes, Australian Alps, actually? I mean, how does that happen?
Well, you know, I mean, I wasn't there. I can't tell you, but there are people who would say, in the days of P-League, the earth was divided, you know what I mean? There are alternative models that provide alternative explanations.
I am exactly interested in those alternative models. If you can provide then fine, I'm all on board. But give an alternative explanation,
please. Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't want to get sidetracked too far from, because it was kind of the dating method that I was keen to talk about, if you like, because you subscribe to the point of view that the elements themselves are mutating from one element into another, yeah?
The cells or elements?
The elements. The
so
the
you have atoms. Radioactive decay.
Correct.
Yeah, so you have a certain isotope that changes into another isotope, an unstable into a stable.
That's the thing. That's the story we're told, and ultimately we're told that all the heavy metals were formed in the hearts of stars as they exploded on the percussion wave, et cetera, which allowed the nuclei to conglomerate into heavy metals, and ultimately Neil deGrasse Tyson would tell us we're all made of star stuff. And then the continuation of that theory is that those heavy metals are busy transmuting into lighter elements as they fire off different particulates, etc.
Yes.
And that's where all the elements of the periodic table came from. And SMJ would be a heck of a lot better at talking about this than me, because he knows, you know, quite a bit about that. But, I seriously question the atomic theory itself, that the particles are being ejected from the core of these atoms in such fashion. It's the ultimate alchemical story. It's the ultimate alchemical hustle. That's why that channel's named that on the chat.
Yeah.
The alchemical hustle. Because it is alchemy turned into science.
So what are X-rays then? I mean, X-rays exist because you can get a scan at the hospital, or you can have your luggage checked in the airport. I mean, that exists, right? I mean, there is a method with some...
Hang on. Slow down a bit, because that's not particulate radiation. That's electromagnetic radiation, which definitely exists. I'm talking to you over Wi-Fi right now.
Okay, electromagnetic radiation, that means that it affects any magnetic or electric stuff you have in your bag in the airport. I mean, my phone still works.
That's right.
The hard disk still works. I mean, that doesn't
do anything,
right?
No, but see, electromagnetic radiation is... for want of a better explanation, light is just another form of light. Ultimately, all EMF sits on the spectrum of light, or more accurately, light sits on the EMF spectrum. And you can shine a really bright light that we call an X-ray with sufficient energy to go through an object. If you've got a bright enough torch, you could see the fingers in your hand, the bones in your hand, right?
Yes.
Because the light would be bright enough to penetrate through the blood and the flesh and through your bones.
It bounces off your bone and it penetrates your skin and flesh and so on.
Exactly. Right. So, but the difference is, this is where the difference comes in. So radiation exists, no question about that whatsoever. We're probably all currently using it in one form or another at the moment, even if you're plugged into a cable somewhere along the network, there's probably a dish pointing at another dish on a tier. So radiation is real, but particulate radiation is actually a different theory, and that is that the actual the material itself is made up of, funnily enough, tiny spinning balls that are being orbited by other tiny, tiny spinning balls, and in the middle of them is other little balls, and that element is breaking down. So those little balls are coming rocketing out of the inside of that element, and they're firing off into the distance.
Yeah.
And that's particulate radiation. And it's that part of the atomic theory that's used to explain both the nuclear bomb and the strontium-argon dating and so on and so forth, the various other forms, because we're told that the parent element, if you like, transmutates into the daughter element. And so, what is it? I can't remember. Is it strontium turns into argon or the other way around? Whatever it is.
There are many different ones. I mean, you have uranium lead, you have potassium 40, potassium 39, you have potassium against calcium and calcium. Different type.
That's right. And so, ignoring the fact that those dating methods, even if that science is valid, which I can't say for a fact that it's not, I'm saying it's my opinion based on stuff I've looked into in the past, but even if that science is valid, those dating methods are highly questionable, because you assume, effectively starting conditions that are completely unknown.
The assumption is that you start with 100% of the material, and then it decays over time.
That's right, yeah. And, I was just wondering kind of how much thought you put into that, or whether you'd
I didn't have put any thought in that. I don't have any credentials either. I mean, I haven't done any of that research myself, so I just take it as a given.
Yeah.
I admit that I assume it.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, that's fair. You're open, honest about that. I wasn't attacking you over it. I was just wondering sort of what your position. No, that's fair. There's other people who are far more qualified than me to speak on the subject, but I just thought I'd ask you about it, seeing as I heard you mention it, was all.
No, I find it interesting because, everything what I do revolves around it, or
Yeah.
I don't know. It could be it's all made up and it's not true, but then I can recognize old rocks from younger rocks. That's because the compaction history, because of fossils. I mean, you find the fossils that are not here today. So how did they get extinct? I mean, this question.
Yeah, but even that, I don't buy evolutionary history at all, to declare my bias. Before I say anything else, I don't believe that animals transmute into other animals any more than I believe that elements transmute into other elements. But even with that, if you go back and look at the origins of these of this school of thought, you find that the rocks were dated before radiometric dating existed. And that when the radiometric dating came along, it confirmed the dates that had already been assigned to those rocks. And the rocks were dated based on the indicator fossils. And so how do you date the fossil?
I can see what you mean.
Yeah, very circular reasoning. You know, they use the rock to date the fossil and the fossil to date the rock.
Yeah,
highly questionable, in my opinion.
No, that's fine.
And I found it interesting in my own research or whatever you want to call it. I mean, I don't classify myself as a researcher or anything like that, but in what I've looked into, that the teaching of atomism is, if you accept the history timeline that we're given, and I find that to be questionable as well, but nevertheless dates back, you know, thousands of years, like long before our modern scientific paradigm. So the atomistic theory far, far predates modern science.
Okay. Let me put a question to you, which I also put to the forum and other people. How come that a baby chimpanzee or a baby gorilla or a baby orangutan look so much like a baby human?
Let me put it to you another way. A frog has four limbs and I have four limbs. We can see a similarity in the structure of a frog compared to the similarity of a structure in me. Does that imply that I'm related to the frog?
A frog lays eggs. I mean, and let's stick to...
I agree. But
eggs and humans.
No, okay. Okay, so my point is this. They look alike. It's where the story ends. The fact that they look alike does not mean or even imply or lead to a logical conclusion that they have an evolutionary background. See, if you want to accept that model, you know, then ultimately your grandfather, great-great-grandpappy was a frog. You know, with a fish that grew legs, crawled out onto the sand and got a suntan.
I go with that model because it makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. So I agree. It's a good story, but ultimately, if you want to make sense out of that story, you have to realize that your great 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 granddaddy was basalt or granite.
No, why?
Well, because the fish,
according to mainstream, was an amino acid. Was not a rock.
Where did the amino acid come from?
From fluids. Not rocks. That's new. What? From rocks?
Of course, from rocks. What else was there?
Fluid. Water.
Yeah, water. I agree. H2O. And where did the other chemicals come from?
Okay, the chemicals came from rocks, but doesn't mean...
Correct. So, that's exactly right. I agree with you entirely. Your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy was granite. That is actually the theory. That literally is the theory of evolution, that you came from a rock.
No, it isn't.
Okay, explain to me where I'm confused. Explain to me where I went wrong.
No, there was a kind of primordial soup.
Yeah, where did the soup come from? Where did the soup come from?
I mean, you had different elements, and yes, those elements came from rocks.
Yes, so the elements, yes,
so. That you come from rocks.
Yes, it does. Ultimately, if that story is true, you are a mutated rock.
But the rock is a mutated
star.
Other stuff as well.
Star. The rock comes from a star.
Whatever you want to call it, it's stellar dust or whatever you want to call it. Yes, of course.
Yeah. So literally, Neil deGrasse Tyson was telling the truth. I'm made of star stuff. So a star.
I agree with that. That doesn't mean I agree with everything this fucking clown tells me. But I agree with that.
Okay. So, but I mean, that's fine. You are allowed to agree with that. And I'm just pointing out that I'm not down with it. You know, I mean, ultimate. But it's important to be consistent with the conclusions of whatever theories it is that you hold to, and that is that you ultimately are a mutated rock.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
That's some new braid.
What was that?
Yeah. Never heard.
Where did that come from?
From Ed.
Ah, was that the stream? Is that the streamer bot? Oh, wow.
Yeah,
Ed, you've, we've got disco music now. Wow.
Yeah, yesterday. No, disco. okay. I am a muted rock, according to you.
Well, not according. No, not according to me. According to me, you aren't.
Yeah,
according
yeah,
to
I,
you,
yeah.
you are.
Thank you. No, according to man. No, thanks. Yeah.
But
I tricked you.
Yeah, and yeah, so you're a star. Literally, you're a star.
Yeah, I'm
you know,
just a
and
guy
so,
living in Colombia. I mean, yeah, it doesn't, doesn't matter. Well, matter, I mean, the word matter doesn't matter.
Yeah, but, you know, it all starts to tie in together because
yeah,
it is.
The problem is,
you know,
the point is, if it doesn't work anymore, the model, so like a hoax story they present to me and I see it and it doesn't work, it's completely false, then I can say, okay, it's false. But if the model works, even if it's based on assumption, like the Cavendish experiment, John, please chime in. Or evolution, that we are all coming from a different species, which we haven't observed in life, it's an assumption. If it works, I don't see any problem to accept it. If it doesn't work anymore, like what you challenged me on the position of the moon, the actual rotation, then okay, I see an entrance to question it. And I have this position consistently. And I can understand that other people do not have the same position. I can understand that. I disagree with people, but we don't attack each other. There's no reason for attacking or for, you know, I mean.
No, yeah, I agree. So do you think, I mean, obviously you do, and in what way have you seen evolution?
Well, look at dogs. Look at dogs. Dogs is the best example. I mean, what we see, I mean, if you would find fossils of a chihuahua and a Siberian husky, and you would call them the same species? No, of course not. But if you look at them today, they can even mate and get fertile children. How do you say it?
Yeah.
And so that in our current definition, a species is defined along those lines. I mean, two individuals who can mate and produce fertile offspring, that is a species. If they mate like a mule, right, a donkey and a horse, they're two different species, they mate. They produce a mule, and a mule is sterile. It cannot produce fertile offspring. But in the past, we don't have this control. So we can only assign fossils to genera, so to genus and plural genus, because we cannot say for sure that they cannot produce a fertile offspring because we were not there, right?
Yeah, so I guess the question that I would have then is when have you ever observed in any way at all one type of animal transmute into a different type of animal?
Nobody has ever done that.
I couldn't agree more.
It's a hypothesis. It's an idea.
I agree.
Idea.
Yeah. I agree.
But
yeah,
does
I agree.
That, does that idea sound really strange when you look at the Chihuahua versus Siberian Husky? No. It looks pretty logical. To me,
I don't agree with that. The bodily structure of the animal may be different from short to tall or black to white or anything in between. But, you know, ultimately it is the same animal type. Like dogs make dogs, and until dogs give birth to cats or rabbits, evolution has not been
abused. It's baby steps. If you put a chihuahua on island, eventually, according to mainstream view, it will evolve into a different species. I don't see any problem with that. It makes sense. Because isolation, look at humans, we do the same thing. Isolation makes different kinds of people. Different culture, different languages, different customs, everything changes. Evolution is all around us. Everything evolves. Our ideas, I mean, look at ourselves. 10 or 5 years ago, we thought completely different. Our ideas evolved because of new input, because of environmental input. Right?
But this is one of the problems with the theory of evolution, or at least the promoters of the theory of evolution, is that the term is regularly and consistently misapplied to subjects that do not indicate evolution. For example, watching a language change or people's cultures develop or go from short to tall through, might I add, a intelligently designed breeding program, generally speaking. The simple fact is that is actually not the evolution that is required for the theory of evolution to be valid. What is required is for the genetic code to mutate, to add information, to create new structures that didn't previously exist, for those structures to be successful enough for that new type of organism to be able to survive in the battle that's called the survival of the fittest. You know, and then the step that's often forgotten about when people are promoting the theory of evolution is it also requires Mr. or Mrs. brand new organism to go and find its opposite sex to breed with. You know, I mean, for example, if you look at the butterfly or really any insect that goes through you know, pupal, larval, chrysalis stages, a caterpillar makes a cocoon, goes inside it, melts itself down into soup, puts itself back together into a completely new structure from what it was before, and then goes and finds a mate. Now, I don't have a problem with that occurring because it occurs. It's a simple fact. We witness it, if not every day, every year. And yet I would ask you to go back in time on the evolutionary ladder to the day when the first ever insect had the idea, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make myself a little sleeping bag, turn myself into a liquid, redesign myself. Now, okay, let's assume that all happened. That's cool. I'm down with that. And it popped out of its chrysalis, you know, as a monarch or whatever it was. And on that day, back in time, what did it go and mate with?
Do you say that the idea of sexual selection doesn't exist? I mean, we do it every day.
No, hang on. Hang on. You've missed my point.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you have, because once upon a time, there were no butterflies at all.
Yes.
Do we agree?
Yes.
Okay, so I ask you to cast your mind back to the day, the actual day, which had to occur. There had to be a day in the evolutionary time frame. It doesn't matter when, there had to be a day when the first ever butterfly hopped out of the first ever cocoon.
But what did there it are with? Many more insects that have a larvae stage, and then
they don't build a cocoon,
but they have a completely different shape when they're a baby. And then
before they become adult, they change. Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think the entire insect kingdom falsifies the theory of evolution. But let's even, I'll give you that. Let's imagine the world was populated by heaps of other insects, right? Moths, flies, mosquitoes, don't care what they're called. There was a day in the evolutionary time frame, a day when the first ever butterfly hopped out of the first ever butterfly cocoon. What did it mate with?
It made it with another species of the same kind, and then it passed on the most dominant gene, which was this cocoon larva stage thing. And that's how it became successful.
Yeah, but you know that even though you're happy to trot that sentence out, that it doesn't stack up, because on that day, that organism had mutated so sufficiently that it was of a completely new structure. There was no other butterfly.
That's an assumption. You're now posting an assumption, which is fine, but then you say
it's not an assumption, actually. It's a total factual requirement. There had to be a butterfly, or else there wasn't a butterfly.
There had to be an animal that could be a larvae, caterpillar in a junior stage, and then a butterfly, and then it made it with another caterpillar, which didn't have the same capacity, but then the caterpillar cocoon butterfly stage was dominant, and that's why we have it today. We can only say that because we have it today. So there are so many things that are lost because of evolution, because it was not successful. Because the mutation was just not successful.
The story is built and maintained on, it has to have happened because we know it has happened. And you see, I'm not hassling you when I say this, but if you talk to proponents of evolutionary theory, they will always trot that line out. No, but we know that it happened because here we are today. We're here now, therefore we know it happened.
We can only reason from the present day. That's the whole thing about geology, and not only evolution. It's all geology. We can only look at today, what we have today, and analyze the history of the Earth because of that. You cannot put that against geologists or paleontologists or paleobiologists or anyone looking into the past. I mean, it's like how do you know languages? Well, because we have French and Spanish and Italian today and Romanian. It doesn't make sense to postulate an idea without having any backup of today.
You lost me there for a minute. But, you know, I find that the explanations are lacking, usually absent. They're always assumption-based.
But everything in the whole fucking world is assumption-based. If I look at a tiger, if I find a tiger here at this moment, and I assume he's going to attack me, that is assumption-based, but it makes sense. Because I know that carnivores have big canines and can attack me.
That's not actually really a logical progression to go from standing in front of a tiger and being concerned that you might get attacked to considering that the tiger will give birth to a completely different type of creature.
why not? I mean, I see it in dogs, in cats, in birds, in horses, in plants. I mean, evolution is happening today, you know what I mean?
But you don't, because that is not evolution. It's not. Adaptation has been witnessed throughout all of history. No question about that. Adaptation is not evolution. Each creature, for whatever reason, has within its design structure, whatever it is, DNA,
genetic code,
whatever you want to call it, has the ability to express a multitude of different characteristics. But none of those different characteristic expressions add information. They are all a deleterious process, whereby gene expression, or whatever you want to call it, is reduced. You know, so they don't add new information, and the addition of new information has never been observed, not in all of history.
You're right. I mean, I'm not disputing yet. That's true.
Yeah, but that's what's required for evolution to exist.
Yes, it is. But it's because of time. And then we go back to the whole history of the Earth, and if you don't believe it's millions of years old, then, yeah, okay, we end up in the same cycle.
I don't see any problem with that.
But, okay, yeah.
The time is the magic ingredient, because we say, you know, if the princess kisses a frog and it turns into a prince, that's a fairy tale. But we say if there's enough time and the frog turns into a prince, that's evolution. Right? Time. The only difference in those two stories is time. Right? You see what I'm saying? I mean, ultimately, you did come from a frog or an amphibious fish that grew leaves.
There are many steps in between, but yes, that's the idea, and I don't see any problem with that. It works.
Right. Fair enough.
I want to ask John to come in, but his microphone is low or so. Because John?
Is he there?
Yeah, I hear you very low, and I put you at 150%.
Very faint.
Very faint.
Maybe John, log back out and come back in or something. Good idea. We'll just wait for him to come back in. But
the point is, I'm not defending anything. I'm just, like I said, consistently, I stick to a model that works. If I get a better model, then I switch to that, no problem. But I need a better model that works as well.
Yeah, but I understand that's where you're at, and like we discussed it earlier, I think that's a fallacious position, only in the sense that if you can falsify a theory or a model, it's falsified. End of story. You don't need a new working model to go to.
Yeah, that's where we disagree. But I really love your way of thinking. I mean, you have studied everything very well, I must say.
Yeah, I mean, I've forgotten far more than I've ever learned. But you know, actually, I studied evolutionary theory quite a lot over a long period of time. I haven't done it for a long, long time, so I'm rusty as far as that goes. But, evolutionary theory for me has been a failure for well over 20 years.
So one question is for me, how do you explain the similarity between apes and humans?
Well, that's what I was trying to get across earlier, is I don't feel a requirement to explain it as a similarity, because if you put... It's what I was saying about the frog. Frog's got four limbs. I got four limbs. That mean we're related? No. Do some apes or whatever look similar in their facial features to humans? Sure, maybe they do.
Behavior, sexual mating, so many.
So I'm not disputing that similarities exist. What I'm saying is the existence of similarities does not imply a relationship. It really doesn't. And not only that, it's the differences that end up ultimately becoming far more important, and it's the differences that people don't actually talk about. Like,
I agree with that.
Yeah. No. Yeah, and so you may have a structural similarity, right? And yet, do apes, do they make music? Do they have language? Do they have a creative drive?
Yes.
Yes, they have what?
You have chimpanzees painting.
Is my audio coming through now?
Hey! Yes, you are.
Oh, good. Yeah, sorry about that. I was there for 10 or 15 minutes, and obviously there was a problem with the setup.
Wow, good, yeah? John, still, the setup is not very good because you have a delay.
I couldn't hear you at all. I mean, I didn't even realize you were talking before. You were so low. It wasn't until Gaia said you were talking that I realized.
That's okay, but it's all coming through clear now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good.
It is.
John, if you don't mind, I'm just going to bow out for a bit, go on mute. If you if you're happy to talk or whatever, I just got to mute out for a bit. Is that cool?
Yeah, that's cool. I just wanted to ask both of you one question. That's all.
Yep, far away.
How long do you think you two could talk about evolution and fail to convince one another of your respective opinions before you would decide to agree to disagree and move on?
I wasn't trying to convince them at all. I was enjoying the discussion, and that's as far as it went.
Oh, that's good. That's good. The reason I ask is just because... The reason I ask is because evolution seems like one of those topics where, you know, people can talk for hours and hours, and at the end of it, nobody's position has changed one iota. Which isn't necessarily a problem. It isn't necessarily a problem. Yeah. It's just I do wonder sometimes about the...
Most subjects are like that. Well, at least many subjects are like that, it'd be fair to say.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. And to my way of thinking, that doesn't mean that they're not worth talking about. I would agree with you that perhaps often the conversations become pointless and stuff like that. I'd grant you that, but I don't think that means... It's, you know, never worth talking about.
No, I agree.
Great. I haven't had a conversation about evolution for ages.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah. But hopefully you can continue the conversation for a bit because my phone's going flat and I'm just going to mute out for a bit.
You put me on the spot here.
Well, Guy, we said that we would have a chat and I've got a little bit of time before I have to leave for work, so I thought I would say hello.
Hey, shame for me. I really have to go to bed not because I want to, because I like to. I'm a vampire, but I really enjoy filing, I must say. I mean, you're a very sharp thinker and an inspirational person. I have five, so I'm happy to talk.
Well, I don't want to keep you up too late. I mean, I'm back now from my little self-imposed exile from YouTube, Google Hangouts, and Fakeologists, so I'm sure we'll get a chance to chat at some point in the future.
Yeah. You're going in and out a bit, but I will try to listen well.
Oh, well, I was just trying to explain that if you have to go to bed now, there's no...
No, not now. No. I will enjoy this, and then, I mean, like half an hour.
Well, is there anything in particular that you wanted to discuss?
We have talked about evolution. Right now you're listening, probably. We talked about dinosaurs before. I really don't understand where this obsession with dinosaurs comes from.
Whose obsession?
Why are dinosaurs somehow more important than other fossils?
To who? Like you say, it's an obsession. Whose obsession?
From both sides, the mainstream and the kind of alternative viewpoint on it. I mean, why are dinosaurs somehow special? So dinosaur fossils are fake, but then the rest is all real. I mean, how does it work? I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't really know what you're talking about. I don't know which people you're referring to, so I can't really give a comment.
Now, I mean, I hear dinosaurs are fake. So dinosaurs never existed. So there were never giant lizards. So then the question, two questions arise. What is the most giant lizard that existed? What was it? Was it a crocodile or a turtle or a snake or what other kind of reptile or other animal? And how does the ecology of that time, allegedly the dinosaurs were around, work? I mean, who ate those plants? Who were predating on the animals that ate those plants? You know, how was it related to the mammals and the birds and the marine fossils being around at that time?
So is there anything in particular that you wanted to discuss with me?
Well, that those two questions.
Well, obviously, I don't know what was happening on Earth hundreds of years ago, so if you want to know what was eating plants or what have you, there's not really much I can say to you, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's the difference I have with a lot of people here, because they have the position, I challenge a mainstream position, and I don't need to give an alternative answer. My position is, you're only strong if you give an alternative answer and you are able to answer all the observations the mainstream explains in a different model. I'm fine with that different model, but please explain it to me.
When you say only strong, what do you mean?
Think about all of the baby hoaxes. That's your word. You can say right from the start, it's all hoaxed. No, it's hoaxed. No. If you say, okay, explain to me, how did these witnesses come into play? Well, that's crisis actors. How did these victims come into play? Well, either their names were faked, or their identities were stolen, or they got a new identity. How were these photos faked? Well, because the media is in control and they have Photoshop and all that. I mean, then you have an alternative explanation to the mainstream narrative. And I agree with that, and I'm all on board with that, and I have done my research. Same for Apollo, which is a more scientific point. I can prove that Apollo is wrong because of geology. I can prove that Apollo is wrong because of engineering. I can prove Apollo is wrong because of logic, because of history, and all these kind of things. That makes a strong case. If you say, no, yeah, Apollo is hoax, but what happened? Yeah, I don't know. Sorry, that is not a good answer.
So when you say if somebody wants to have a strong opinion or be strong, what you mean is that for them to convince you to their way of thinking, they have to give you an alternative explanation to the mainstream.
Observations, yes.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Well, I'm in the fortunate position where I don't really feel the need or inclination to convince you to my way of thinking. So I don't really feel any obligation to give alternative models, as it were.
Don't you feel that this is kind of weak position?
Well, if your definition of strong and weak is to convince you, then I guess, yeah,
no,
if you need...
No, it's not about me. No, it's not about me. It's about, I mean, talk about your Bonner model. I mean, you want to prove that there is you want to postulate that there is a different model possible for the observations we can do in the night sky, every one of us, which is not the heliocentric model. And I'm on board with that. But that can only happen if you can indeed explain these observations in a coherent, consistent, scientific, logical way, which the mainstream model at the moment cannot do.
Well, the point that I make with my Bonner model work is that heliocentrism, if you just look at the basic heliocentrism model, actually can explain the observations that we see.
Yes.
What I'm saying is that the Bonner model, a geocentric, if you want to be, if you want to use labels, you could use a model that operates from geocentrism that can also explain the observations. That's the point that I make.
I completely agree with that.
But you see, the way that I see things is if somebody believes in heliocentrism or as being like a literal depiction of where we live, or if they believe in human evolution theory, or if they believe that we are made of atoms, ultimately it makes no difference to my life. So I'm not going to go out of my way to try to change their mind, you see?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. That's also why I am surprised the Daddy or Timmy hoaxes or position YouTubers. Because I think that the lower level hoaxes are much more important for people's lives. And evolution is different because that's where we come from and that's really crucial to our existence. But like dinosaurs, I mean, nobody cares about dinosaurs. Go on the street. Ask someone, hey, do you think dinosaurs exist? Yeah, I think so. But if they don't exist, yeah, my life goes on. I mean, changes. Evolution, okay, yes, it does. But dinosaurs?
Do you see how dinosaurs are an integral part of convincing people of evolution?
No, I don't.
Were you taught about dinosaurs as a child?
Yes, but not in very much detail.
What grade or what class level were you in when you studied or you were taught about dinosaurs when you were a child?
Like you, I watched The Land Before Time. I liked it. It was nice, nice cartoon. But no, somewhere 10, 12 years old, something like that.
So you were young, and for me it was when I was in grade 1, so I was 6 or 7
really?
Years old.
Yeah, we spent, you're a bit younger than me.
Yeah, so we spent a term, because back in primary school we would have 4 terms per year, and each term would be dedicated to a certain topic. And so one of our terms was dedicated to dinosaurs. And so this was well before we had any instruction in human evolution theory or in heliocentrism. Mm-hmm. We were learning about dinosaurs. And, of course, by learning, I mean we were just being told stories and we were given lots of colourful pictures and movies and these kinds of things. And so what I would suggest is that for a lot of people, because they buy into this idea of dinosaurs existing millions of years ago and experts who can tell you all about these dinosaurs, then on a fundamental level, they've bought into all of the foundational concepts that will then be used to convince them of the legitimacy of human evolution theory. So I think there's a big overlap in terms of how people begin to accept certain ideas between human evolution theory, dinosaurs, and heliocentrism, or the broader space idea, because, of course, dinosaurs were supposedly wiped out by the asteroids. And where do they come from? Oh, they come from space, you see. So there's a heavy overlap, in my opinion, between all of these things. But if somebody says to me, oh, well, JLB, your hoax hierarchy, I would do it differently, I say, that's fantastic. Put together your version of a hoax hierarchy and we can discuss them. You know, I'm not suggesting that my version is the truth or the best version.
No,
it's just my version. So if other people want to put together their own hierarchies, I welcome it. I encourage it. That's terrific.
No. That's why I like you. That's why I like your way of positioning yourself within the world and your humbleness about what you know and what you don't know. Okay, there's two things. One is, I am surprised how you are so humble about the baby hoaxes, at least in words. I know you think differently. I mean, you think it's all crap or the same stage play as ever before. But at least in presentation, you portray the idea, okay, it could be real, it could be fake. And with dinosaurs, you are completely black and white. It's fake. There's no question.
When did I say that? What were you referring to? Which
in many everything you have published, everything.
Can you give me one example?
Probably it was either the Istanbul hoax or the Orlando hoax. One of
dinosaurs. When did I say?
No, one of the two. You went into dinosaurs, and then you said, okay, it's a complete hoax. Okay, you didn't say the word fake. Okay, maybe you said it's a complete hoax. It's just ridiculous. That's the wording you used. It's just ridiculous.
Okay, well, let me be clear here. Everything that I talk about is my opinion. So if I say that I suspect that all dinosaurs are fake or a hoax or embellished or make-believe or whatever term it is that I use. I'm talking merely about my opinion. I can't tell you for certain that it's fake. There is a possibility that I have lost my mind. That is a possibility. I think it's a very small possibility, a very remote possibility, but that could well be the case. So I certainly don't want anyone to think, well, JLB is certain that dinosaurs are fake, therefore that adds weight to the notion that they're fake. I'm just one person with opinions. The difference between what I do and what most of my peers do or what other content creators do is that I at least show you the evidence for my opinion. So with the dinosaurs, for instance, I show you the scientific studies that I have read in my own time. And I say, look, here's what they say. Here's what they show. Here's why I think this is nonsense. Or I went out to a dinosaur museum in the middle of Australia and I looked at their holotype specimens and I said, guys, here is some video footage or here is some photos of what they claim is a multi-million-year-old creature. Here's why I am not convinced of their story, you see? But who knows? Maybe humans did evolve. Maybe dinosaurs did exist. Maybe they were wiped out by asteroids. I am open-minded to these possibilities, even if I personally think these are ridiculous stories.
Yeah, my point was that in your presentation, in your videos, you show that stance regarding the baby hoaxes, the terror hoaxes, and all these crap, which is completely hoax, of course. We both know that. But on the dinosaur hoax, you didn't present yourself like that. In the public videos I've seen, I mean, maybe in your paywall videos you have a different stance, and that's fine. But in your public videos, you show that difference.
Well, if you can link me to an example with a timestamp, I'm happy to go back and review it. But I think I've been pretty clear for a long time. Here is the evidence, the objective evidence that is given to us by so-called scientists. Here is the official story of history. Here is the claims that they make. Now, here is the empirical data. Here is the objective data that we can all access for ourselves. Now, based on all of this, here is my opinion. So you've got your evidence, then your logic, and then your presentation. I like to think that I've been pretty clear with this right from the start. Here's the evidence. Here's the logic. Here's my opinion based on the evidence and the logic.
Okay.
I don't really know what much more I can do than that.
No, it's fine. My question is, okay, if not dinosaurs, then what else?
I don't know what you're... What do you mean, what
well,
else?
Yeah, it's a good question because it's twofold. What animals were there when there were not dinosaurs? And are the other fossils also fake?
Okay, so in terms of what animals were there when there weren't dinosaurs, when are you talking about? What animals were there when?
In the so-called Cretaceous and Jurassic.
Well, I obviously don't accept that there was a Cretaceous or a Jurassic period. Why do you?
Because I've looked into rocks myself.
Really? Did you manage to date those rocks for yourself?
No, I haven't. I accept that. I take it as an assumption.
Do you know it's how they supposedly do their radiometric dating?
Yes, I do.
Does it seem sensible to you? Does it seem believable?
It is based on the assumption that there was 100% of a certain isotope and then it decayed into another isotope and then you can measure the ratio between the decayed isotope and the 100% theoretical original isotope, right?
So if we take that as being a basic synopsis of radiometric dating, does that seem believable to you that that's what they're doing?
I don't see any problems with it. I don't defend it, but I don't see any problem.
Well, that's fair enough. If you're happy believing that they can date these items
for
millions of years,
then... It's not belief. That's the whole problem. You try
what is it, then? If it's not belief, then what is it?
Frame it as a belief system.
Well, what
and
is
it's
it? If
not
it's not
a
belief, then what is it?
A belief is something that is completely irrespective of data points. And there are data points.
Okay, so if you're comfortable accepting the radiometric dating story, then you can call that a belief or you can call it whatever you like. The point is you're comfortable with that, you're happy with that, then I'm happy for you. I'm not going to try to take that away from you.
It works. It's a working model. It's just like the heliocentrism. It's a working model.
What do you mean working model? What does that mean to you?
it works. It's both descriptive of the current observations, and it's predictive.
Which observations? Which observations are you talking about?
If I drill a well in the deep offshore of Brazil, which is my working area at the moment, I can find forams, which are planktonic animals that don't exist today, and they comply with the idea that they are so many million years old because there
are
so many
stages.
The actual drilling? No, I haven't done that.
So there are creatures that existed. There are creatures that you're saying that used to exist but no longer do. So where can we see these creatures?
Okay, if you want to go that way, then go to Kimmeridge Bay in England, in southern England. You can see ammonites in the beach. They're not fake or so. I mean, they're...
Okay, so are we talking about ammonites, or are we talking about what you found, or what can be found digging?
Okay, you're saying... Yeah, but if you want to talk to real empirical science, then we talk about ammonites, because I've seen that with my own eyes. So I can, vouch for that. I cannot vouch for the whole history of foraminific evolution. No, I cannot.
So why are you bringing up these hypothetical extinct creatures of Brazil if the moment that you're asked for your evidence, you immediately retract? Why do you do that?
No, because of your point you made up. You said, have you seen it? What I've seen is ammonites.
Well, I didn't ask if you've seen it. I said, where can we see it? Like, where can we go to see these extinct creatures from Brazil?
Well, you can drill a well. It costs a lot of money, but you can drill a well.
I can't. I can't drill a well off Brazil. The average person cannot do that.
Okay, so you are in a position that you don't accept anything someone else does that analyzes those samples.
No, that's not what I said. I said, where can we see them? And if it's the case that we have to drill to be able to see them, then I can't see them. But perhaps you know of some kind of museum or something somewhere, you know? At least then we've got something to work with.
There are lots of papers and so on, yeah. Salt. How does it come there in the deep offshore of Brazil and Africa? How does it come there?
How does what come there?
Salt. Thick layers of salt, kilometers of salt.
Salt?
Yeah. Rock salt.
I don't know. I don't know how they got there. Do you?
At least I have the model, which is the mainstream model.
Well, it's not a model. It's a story. You haven't explained how it's a model yet. It's just a story.
It's the mainstream model says that Africa and South America, which are very much aligned in shape, they split, and in the shallow, hot climate of the early Cretaceous, which is 120 million years ago, there was salt deposition in those basins.
How is this a model? You're telling me a story. How is this a model? Or are those two words the same thing to you?
If I drill
well... When you say model, it makes it sound very scientific and everything, but nothing that you told me sounds like a model.
I mean, my job is building models, so... You drill a well and you find kilometers of salt. How does it end up there?
No, I don't do that, and neither do you. So when you say model, what are you talking about?
This is such a easy ethic autist position. Really, it is taking everything everyone says as a lie.
No, that's not. What you just did is a straw man. I'm not calling you a liar. I'm asking you to explain.
No, I know.
What does this word model mean to you? Or are you just using the word model because it sounds scientific?
No, because it works. Because it's predictive. Because it's descriptive.
Wow, it's predictive. So what did it predict, this model of yours?
That you can find salt and oil below the salt in the deep offshore of Brazil.
What came first, these discoveries or the model? Because if the discoveries
First, the model.
Oh, so they came up with a model, and they said, with this model, we predict that we will find all of the salt, and then they went and found the salt.
No, there are so many dry wells drilled. No, you first make a model, then you drill, and then you test your hypothesis, which is the initial model, with data you find in real life. Then you
So what did this model of yours predict? What did it predict?
That there was layers of salt, below layers of sediment, and below those layers, there was a possibility to find oil, and they did.
So was this before or after oil had been found in the deep sea, this model?
It was after.
Hmm. So it's not really predictive then. So we already knew that you can find oil in the deep sea. Then this model of yours came along. So it's not really predictive. So can you give me any examples of these predictions? Well, what is it predicted?
The model. Okay. Maybe theory or hypothesis or whatever you want to call it. Is that you had sediments laid down before the salt when the southern Atlantic was really opening up, and you had lacustrine lake environment where you had source rocks, so rocks with high organic matter, laid down. You can find source rocks anywhere on Earth. You can even test them, you can put them in a test tube, and you can do experiments, and then it produces oil. So this whole idea of no, oil is not coming from organic matter. Yeah, of course it does. I mean, you can prove it yourself.
How can I prove that this petroleum is coming from dead carcasses and this kind of thing? How can I prove that?
Yeah, that's your misrepresentation you put in your 37 things normies believe. That oil comes from dinosaurs. That's completely ridiculous. Please change
You know that,
that
some people are being taught this and some
yeah,
people believe this.
Please change that in your list, because it makes you sound like a retard. And you're
we
not,
can worry,
you're not
we can worry about that in a moment. We can worry about that in a moment. But do you understand that there are people out there who have been taught that dinosaurs decomposed into fossil fuels? Are you aware of this?
It could be there. I mean, people tell things all the time. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean
Well, it does matter, because the item that you're talking about is 37 things normies believe. And this is a belief that is held by normies. Maybe not all of the normies, but certainly some of them. So you can say that I yeah. sound like a retard, but if you're going to deny that there are people out there who claim that the dinosaurs, among other things, decomposed into what we call fossil fuels now, then it's not I who sounds like the retard, Gaia. I don't mind you getting into these personal attacks. If you want to get into
the
personal attacks, that's fine.
No, because, John, I respect you. Otherwise, I wouldn't be talking to you, really. I respect you, and I think you're a very sharp thinker. That's why I was surprised to see that on your website, because what the fuck? Nobody seriously interested in this topic says that. Because oil is coming
I'm
from
I'm telling you that there are normies out there who believe
yeah.
that. My article was entitled 37 Things
yeah.
Normies Believe. That's what it was titled,
you
wasn't
know,
it
doesn't mean that you don't have a responsibility. We talked about that the other day about parents and vaccines. That you have a responsibility to filter. I mean, you can put up anything the Daily Mail says there. Yeah, that's what normies believe. Yeah, but you can also filter it out and select what actually the mainstream science says.
Okay, that's great. So if I put an article with the title, Things That Mainstream Science Claims, then perhaps your criticism might be valid. But you're specifically referring to an article entitled 37 Things Normies Believe. And there are normies out there who do believe that dinosaurs and other creatures decomposed into what we now call fossil fuels. That's a fact. So your criticism is invalid.
Yeah, it's only invalid if you don't apply any filters to what you see online. And if you want to stick with that, that's fine. It's your call.
Well, everything I've said is true. Anyway. Everything I have said is true. The article is entitled 37 Things Normies Believe. There are normies out there who believe that dinosaurs yeah. and other creatures decomposed into fossil fuels. All factual, all logical. Your criticism is invalid.
So, please talk. I will ask for
Well, it appears as though Gaia has gone on mute and overly salted. He is ruffling through his shopping or something.
Sorry about that.
No, that's okay.
Yeah, I was taught that in school when I was a child. That dinosaurs died and other organic material, and over millions of years, that's what created the oil, fossil fuels.
Yep, that's what we were taught as well, my friend. And I grew up in Victoria, Australia. Whereabouts did you go to school?
I grew up in West Virginia.
West Virginia. So that, don't tell me that is in the northeast. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So two people from different parts of the earth have both been taught that dinosaurs decomposed into fossil fuels. I write an article entitled 37 Things Normies Believe. And the normies tend to believe what they were told at school. Certainly I did until relatively recently in my life. And apparently Gaia has a problem with me talking about this. It's a little strange. I think sometimes people like Gaia, they're effectively defending so-called science the same way that religious people defend, you know, their texts or whatever. And it's like, oh, well, you know, the book doesn't really say that, or, you know, the real theologians don't really say that. And it's like, well, that's what's being taught in schools. Okay. So this is a big deal. This is what the normies believe. The normies are not going and studying the scientific papers. Mind you, neither are most of the conspiracy theorists either, which is why I do not identify with or call myself a conspiracy theorist, because most of them are completely retarded, right? But I have gone and looked at the scientific papers, and my work deals with the scientific papers. And I say, for instance, look at this new species they just discovered of a dinosaur. They openly admit they've only got 20% of the fossils of this species. Now, if this is the case, where are the other 80%? How can you know you've got a new species if
John,
you've only got 20%?
Let's go back to your great-great-great-grandmother of 500 years ago. You only find a couple of teeth, a rib, and a foot. Does that mean she wasn't the whole person? No, it doesn't. You can
I haven't found... This is another speculative hypothetical. I haven't found any traces of my great-great-great-grandmother.
That is an analogy to what you're saying. You cannot reconstruct animals from just a couple of bones. That's what you're saying.
Firstly, if I did find trace amounts of my great-great-great-grandmother's body, she would be a human, and we know what humans look like. We know how many bones they have.
We know
how those bones fit together. Just let me finish. We know what humans look like. We know how many bones they have. We know how those bones fit together. Now, if you have discovered a new species of dinosaur, from what reference point are you coming to the conclusion that you have 20% of that species? Think about this logically.
You have other reptiles which have this similar bone structure, which we have.
How do you know that they're similar? How do you know that?
Because you have found similar reptiles who have the same bone structure.
No, you're doing circular reasoning now. I said, how do you know that they're the same?
Well, and that's circular reasoning. You recognize the same aspects of that fossil in another fossil. So is it so hard to understand?
Then how do you know it's a new species then? How do you know it's not just the same species?
Because it is different, apparently. And also, I mean, that's
you haven't even read these studies and you're defending them.
Sorry, John, you cannot say that to me. No. That's a red herring too, because you say a new species. I mean, paleontologists really like a new species because they can put their name on it. That is not an argument against having a new genus, really.
So you agree with me that these species, the paleontologists have a vested interest in creating new species, yeah?
I don't disagree with that, no.
Yeah, so we go back to the question. If you only have 20% of an allegedly new species, how do you know that it's a new species? How do you know you only
have
20%?
It has different characteristics from similar but different other genus or species, however you want to call it.
But you don't know that they're similar. You only have 20% of this new creature.
Yeah, but if you have the same, if you have a femur, let's say, of one animal, you can compare it to femurs of all other animals that were found, and if it's slightly different, then they put it in a new genus. That's how paleontology works. But there is no official paleontology. I mean, if other paleontologists disagree, and this happens all the time, they put it in a new genus or in a different
family.
How do you
know that it's a femur? If you find a femur, how do you know that it's a femur?
I don't, because I'm not an expert on that, but other people, they know how animals, the anatomy and so, they know how they behave.
Experts. The experts can just look at a multi-million-year-old fossil and identify that it's a femur. They just must know somehow.
If it's not a femur, what is it then? I don't know. That is not an answer, John. Sorry.
Well, I'm asking you, how do these people know that it's a femur?
Because of the shape, because of the structure, because of the cohesion of the bone. I mean, these people have all their measures.
Oh, these people just have it all worked out. They can just look at a multi-million-year-old fossil and identify that it was part of a leg of a creature from millions of years ago.
Yeah,
a whole new creature that's never been seen before.
So we go back to your grandmother. If we find a femur, do you think it's not a femur? It's something else?
Well, if she's a human, we have plenty of humans to compare her against, don't we? Whereas if it's a new species of dinosaur, we have no reference point.
Yes, we have other species of other reptiles to compare it against.
But we don't know how similar it is. It's a new species.
Yeah, but a chimpanzee is also a new in the. It's not even the same genus, but the same family as humans.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Okay, just a
well,
second.
I have got to
just
say,
a second, just that, a second, John.
I've got to say, that is a terrific new bumper that Ab has put together. I love that. Ab, if you're listening, mate, you've done really well with that one. And if I'm right, I think that sound, that lady shouting in the background, I think that's from one of the videos from 9/11. So that is very well done, Ab. Full kudos to you. But I have to get going, Guy. It's a shame. I feel like there's so many things that are far more interesting that we could have discussed. You seem very confident in the dinosaur experts to the point where you defend them without even reading their papers.
I am open to be convinced of the opposite, but I need a good model. That's the whole thing.
Well, we still haven't established what the word model means to you, because you say it's predictive, but it makes no predictions. I think to you, a model is just a fancy word for saying a story. You want a more convincing story.
No,
and I can't give you one. I can't give you a convincing story.
It's based on data, and data, real empirical stuff, and that's why I like you. And that's why I think it's so strange we disagree on so many points, because this whole empirical idea, that's what science is for me.
I don't think it is strange that we disagree. You've openly stated that you want a new story to replace the old stories, whereas I'm all about just looking at the official stories and finding the problems with them, or seeing if they actually do hold water. I'm sure some official stories do hold water. I'm sure there must be some out there. But each official story I look at, I think to myself, this doesn't make sense. This is not logical. This seems completely illogical. But I'm not in the business of trying to put together new stories, because I'm not trying to convince people like yourself to my way of thinking. That's not my goal.
That's my position. I need 2 points. One is proof that the official story is wrong. And second is provide a better story that covers all the points the official story covers, but then explains better new findings.
Sure, but even your use of the word prove there, it takes some time to establish what that word even means to you. Prove. How do you prove something?
That's the thing. I mean, if you are able, with your Bond-Earth model, to prove the heliocentric model wrong...
But we've already established I'm not even trying to do that. The heliocentric model, the basic heliocentric model, just the basic one, and by basic I mean just concerning what we call the solar system, the lights in the sky that we call planets, using a heliocentric model, just of the planets, not getting into dark matter and asteroids and all that crap, dealing with the lights that we call
observable universe.
Just dealing with the lights that we call planets, the heliocentric model works, in my opinion.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I agree.
Model, the heliocentric model can actually make predictions that you can see for yourself come true.
Like you said, kinematically it works, but dynamically you disagree.
Exactly, exactly. So when I talk about lights in the sky, I mean that, lights in the sky. I'm not talking about imagining that these are actual physical bodies out in space interacting via gravity. I mean purely from the perspective of we can see the lights, so empirically we can observe them. You can use a heliocentric model, purely a model, to make predictions, and the predictions will come true. It's just patterns. The lights are just following patterns, right? So I'm not trying to say that the basic heliocentric model is wrong. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I am pointing out, however, is that you can use a so-called geocentric model, which can also make accurate predictions. I'm also pointing out that even if the heliocentric model works, which I believe it does, that does not mean that we actually live on a giant spinning ball hurtling around the sun.
No, and exactly that stance, that position, I miss in the dinosaur and evolution things you point out.
Well, the good news for you is that if you don't like my work on dinosaurs, you can go and do your own work, and I'd be more than happy to read it. If you have any work to share on dinosaurs, I'd be more than happy to see it.
No, that's the point. I'm not interested in dinosaurs, really.
Well, apparently you are, because we've just spent the last 20 minutes talking
about it.
No, yeah,
but that is only because we disagree on it. It doesn't mean I'm interested.
So you'll talk for 20 minutes about things that you're not interested in? There are so many things that we could discuss, and all of my work on dinosaurs is there for people to see, and you're trying to tell me that we've just spent those 20 minutes talking about them, and you're not even interested.
It's not the top of my list, no.
Well, in any event, I have to get going, so it was a pleasure to talk to you, Guy, and Overly Salted as well. Nice to say hello. Hopefully we can chat again in the future. But I have to go and get to my so-called real job, so I'll be on my way. But all the best.
Okay. All the best, too.
Out there. Take care.
Take care. Salted? Are you still there? No? Nobody there?
You're here, Guy. Hello. All right. This is recording. It's me, over and out. Nice chatting to you, Guy. See you. Bye.
This is Maria Lakita. I'm calling from Dubai, UAE, and you are listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.